Once again, our great and all-wise, loving Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you to thank you for the many blessings that we are enjoying at this convention, and to seek thy continued watch care and blessing during the services of this convention. Help our minds to be attentive to thy word of truth, that we may receive it into a good and an honest heart. This time we ask your special blessing upon our dear brother as he breaks the bread of life to us, that he may receive a blessing with us. Anoint his lips that we may receive the words that you have in mind for us, and help us that we may retain those things that would be necessary to live a life that would be pleasing and acceptable to thee. Do forgive us for our faults and failings. Strengthen us wherein we're weak. Thou knowest our frame. Guide and direct us by thy Spirit. We pray thy blessing to continue with us, and we pray for those of our brethren that would like to have been here but could not for various reasons, and pray thy continued blessing with each one of them. And our brethren the world over, we pray thy blessing upon them. In Jesus' most holy and blessed name, we ask these many blessings. Amen.
We all have different hearing abilities. And with a PA system, it's hard for the speaker. Sometimes you don't know, maybe you're speaking too loud and it's hard on the ears, or maybe they're speaking too softly. So if you cannot hear any of the speakers, just ask them to speak a little louder or whatever it may be, because I know that they want to be a blessing. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, we read, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And that is a message of love from the brethren in convention at Detroit, and they send that text to you. And I think that you were probably all here when the announcement was made that Sister Mary Norton finished her course, for which we are all very happy. And now Brother Krupa will bring us a message from the Lord, and he will announce his own subject. Brother Krupa.
My dear brethren, it is indeed a great privilege to be with you, and it has been a real joy to be at this convention, to be blessed of the Lord through the spiritual instruction that we have received, and to enjoy your fellowship. We certainly look forward to that. Yesterday, after this very blessed day, when we came home, we had a very lovely letter from Brother and Sister Hyam of New Zealand. They said that they are really looking forward to seeing us again, all of us. They'll, of course, be at the General Convention. We're hoping at Los Angeles as well. And so that's going to be another treat in store for us very shortly. And they want to be especially remembered to you, dear brethren, at this convention. My subject is spiritual health. Whoever coined the phrase, health is wealth, really coined a good one. In the 5th chapter of Luke, beginning with the 30th verse, we read, "But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus, answering, said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so the stress here in this text is that they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. We've often thought of Jesus as the great shepherd. We've thought of him as the true vine, the captain, the bridegroom, the teacher, the master, the chief cornerstone. And this morning, for a little while, we're going to consider him as our great physician. The relationship that the children of Israel had with Jehovah God was similar to this, because in Exodus 15:26, the Heavenly Father says, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." In Psalm 103, "who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." And so if the children of Israel were obedient to the Heavenly Father, they were to receive health, and they were to receive many temporal blessings. The Heavenly Father had promised that if they were obedient, that he would not put upon the Israelites the diseases and afflictions that had been placed on the Egyptians, as he mentions in Exodus 15:26. Now, do these promises mean anything to us? Can we, as consecrated children of God, expect these same blessings that were promised to natural Israel? After all, God made promises, and we want to be sure that we note how he does fulfill them. Our Heavenly Father told Israel that if they would be faithful, he would bless them in basket and store and multiply their flocks and herds, and that they would have an abundance of everything. All these promises really mean more to us today than they did to Israel back there. Well, someone may say, "I thought we were to expect to suffer, and that we were to be persecuted, and that we were to bear a sacrifice." Does it mean if we're faithful that we will be blessed with good health and a great temporal abundance? Well, following in the footsteps of our Master will mean a life of sacrifice. And it will mean trials. It will mean temptations, and it will mean sometimes sorrows and thorns in the pathway. But if all of these promises that the Heavenly Father made to natural Israel are to benefit us, then we will have to transfer them and apply them in a spiritual sense, as you well know, I'm sure. So the blessing of wheat, wine, oil, and good health that was promised to Israel is applied to us, but in a spiritual sense. The Lord said in the 81st Psalm, the 16th verse, "O Israel, if you had hearkened unto my commandment, I would have fed you with the finest of wheat." And so the Heavenly Father did begin to feed them with the finest of wheat some 1900 years ago. But for the most part, natural Israel missed the blessing of enjoying this finest of wheat. It is same with sickness. Just as most of us, and sooner or later, every one of us, will have to endure some sort of sickness, which will ultimately transfer us into another life, so So, there are spiritual sicknesses. But if these spiritual sicknesses are not taken care of, then we are in great danger of losing the kind of life that means most to us. There are spiritual diseases such as selfishness, impatience, malice, envy, strife, evil speaking. And these are by far worse for the consecrated child of God than having diphtheria or scarlet fever or heart disease or even cancer. To the child of God who has given his life to him and has laid his little all upon the altar of sacrifice, to have pride is a much more terrible disease than to have tuberculosis. It's much worse to have selfishness than scarlet fever. If we become ill in a natural sense, most people will go to rather great extremes in order to accomplish some relief and a cure if possible. They will spend money, time. They'll travel far to go to a clinic or to some doctor that has a good reputation in order to have some improvement in this physical problem. What should we then be willing to suffer in order to improve our spiritual health? We all need the great physician. We need his help. We need his advice. We need his comfort. We need his reassurance. Because we have enlisted, really, as his patients. And if a patient is under a doctor's care for some time, he begins to learn the methods of the doctor, and he sort of knows what to expect. And sometimes then, you know, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Sometimes then, when his friends become ill, he's just all full of advice. And if you've ever been ill, you know how much free advice you do get. But if we have been under the care of our great physician, then our spiritual health should be in good condition, and we should be able to help other patients of his. That means that we should try to assist our brethren. Now, our Lord always used illustrations in his ministry that were simple and appropriate. And so I think we have in this a very fitting one again. And so that's why he said to those hearers back there in the day which he lived here upon the earth, that they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. And so there, he links himself with this illustration, and he states that he is the great physician. And so I hope that we will never think of a doctor, but what it will remind us of the great physician. And that when we see someone that is ill, it will remind us of the possibility of our being ill in a spiritual sense. Or when we have an ache or a pain, that it will remind us that perhaps spiritually this is true as well. Now, there are aids to health. First, there is the desire on most of our parts, and it is also a wise thing to have a proper knowledge of our own condition. Suppose that you have a physical problem. Suppose that you have a bad stomach. And just day after day after day, it bothers you. Suppose you have some growth on some part of your body. And you do nothing about either of these conditions. Most people would consider that that was a foolish approach to the problem. Each of us would be in a far better spiritual condition if we were very diligent to know what the state of our spiritual health is from day to day. We don't want to be of the class who close their eyes to their own weaknesses. It's so easy for us, as we've already been reminded, to see weaknesses in others. But we have the mirror of God's Word. And as brethren speak to us from the Scriptures, it is incumbent upon us to apply every single lesson to ourselves, not to some other brother or sister that might instinctively come into our mind. The apostle admonishes us along this line in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter and the 28th verse. He says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." And then in 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter and the 5th verse, the apostle says, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates?" And so, my dear brethren, it is really necessary for us to examine ourselves, to take inventory, to look into the mirror of God's Word, so that we might detect something that may be out of harmony with our Heavenly Father and His Spirit. There are Christian Scientists who believe that sickness and suffering is merely a mental delusion, that there is no such a thing as a headache or a pain, that it's all in your head. Well, we are also in danger of being Christian Scientists if we feel that we are so developed spiritually, that we're so close to the Lord, that we have no spiritual sicknesses at all. We would be in grave danger if we felt that there was no selfishness in our heart. Every fallen human being also has an element of pride. These are conditions that we must fight. They may be very small. It may not be a very serious condition. But it might be just like the matter of having just a cold. But a cold can develop into pneumonia. And so it's better to cure a cold than to have pneumonia. And if we detect the slightest element of spiritual sickness within our hearts, then we must go to the great physician and ask him for his help. The next aid to spiritual health, after we have analyzed our own condition to the best of our ability, the next aid is the presence and the assistance of the physician. You go to him, You tell him your condition, and you ask for his advice and assistance and help. And so he makes certain suggestions to you. And if you don't follow them, then you are not very wise. And especially so in our case when we go to the great physician. Suppose we are in an experience that is rather trying. And we would just love to tell somebody off and tell them just right from the heels. The best thing that we could do then is to quickly go to the throne of grace and say, "Oh, great physician, I'm having an attack. Please help me. Give me the strength to be able to overcome this weakness." And amazingly, you'll get the strength and you'll get the help that you need. We can also go to the great physician for our brethren. Suppose someone near and dear to you suddenly became ill at home and may have even become unconscious. What would you do? Would you just dilly-dally around? Would you go to the refrigerator and get yourself something to drink? Or would you just tear over to the telephone and call the emergency? You know that's what you'd do. And if we see one of our brethren spiritually ill, then we have the privilege of going to the throne of grace on his behalf. James 5:16 says, "Confess your faults and pray for one another that ye may be healed." He's not talking about physical healing. He's talking about spiritual healing, our heart condition. He's talking about the kind of health that concerns us the most. So how often have we prayed for someone else when we've seen them developing or in a condition of weakness that we might quickly criticize and find fault with? Well, someone might say, "I never thought of it." Well, then we better go to the great physician for ourselves and ask him for more compassion and more concern and more love for our dear brethren. Another aid to health is diet, natural and spiritual. Sometimes we go to a doctor and he says, "Well, there's nothing wrong with you except losing about 20 pounds or maybe 30 or whatever it is." And so he says, "Now just forget those donuts in the morning and forget your dessert at night. And when you think of refreshments in the evening, just forget about that ice cream," I keep telling myself. But then we go back to the doctor and, you know, we haven't lost an ounce. And we say, "Well, I'm not feeling good." He said, "Well, you didn't follow my advice. It doesn't matter how much you come to the office and how much you listen to my advice. If you don't really take my advice, then it's no use you coming here. Just stay away until you follow my advice." Well, it's the same with our spiritual life. Our diet consists of what we find in the Word of God and in those wonderful related helps that we have received by God's grace, that give us such a marvelous understanding of the Scriptures and of our Heavenly Father's plan and of his glorious character. And so it doesn't matter how many conventions we attend. It doesn't matter how many meetings we go to. It doesn't even matter how much we read the scriptures and the volumes and all the other helps. If we don't take the advice of the scriptures and live the kind of a life that the Heavenly Father wants us to live, then we are not benefiting from His advice. Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." And so we must absorb a great deal of the Word of God and that advice and live up to it. Quite often, an individual will need vitamins. Vitamins can be a big help. We will only talk about one vitamin this morning, and that is vitamin D. Vitamin D is formed in the oil of the skin by summer sunshine. It comes from the sun. The sun is the center of our solar system. That's S-U-N. But the sun, S-O-N, is the center of our Christian life. Our Heavenly Father has provided His beloved Son, who is our Redeemer, and who is our pattern and our guide. We need the help of our Master. All of us at times are overcome by the weaknesses of the flesh and the temptations of the world. But our beloved Master cares. He trod this way before, and He knows the weaknesses that fallen human beings are apt to fall into. Not because He was weak Himself, but because of His tender love and the fact that He could observe and read the hearts of others. And so when we are weak and we go to Him, then we are really strong. And this is the kind of a vitamin that can really help, because it does give us strength. And so, there is no night when the Lord is near us. And He will truly be our companion along life's way. And so what is this great blessing to us that comes through our Son, through the Son of Righteousness? Well, our Master, our Lord, our Redeemer is all of those things, but He is more. He is our hope, our brother, our portion, our helper, our healer, our refiner, our purifier. And each one of these is in the scriptures. He is even our servant. He is our example, our teacher, our shepherd, our keeper, our feeder, our leader, our restorer, our resting place. He is our meat and drink. He is our Passover, our peace, our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. He is our all in all. That's what our Lord is. And He is our justification. When we came to our Heavenly Father, we were pretty chipped up. Some of us were a little cranked. What was inside of us wasn't really pure. But because we came to Him, and because we made a covenant of sacrifice, our Heavenly Father gave us something. And so He took, as Brother Morehouse used to show us, He took this chipped vessel and he covered it. And you don't see those chips anymore. And you don't see those weaknesses. And as we look at each other, my dear brethren, let's see the covering. Because we have all been justified by faith because of our dedication to Him. Another aid to spiritual health is cleanliness. We must keep clean spiritually. There must be, as the apostle says in Ephesians 5, the washing of the water through the word. Psalm 119:9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." And so we must cleanse ourselves. We must be separate from the rest of the world. We must not be in the same miry condition that the world is. When we have opportunities where we can demonstrate to others that we have been with Jesus, why don't we do it? Why do we have to follow the example that we find in the world so often in our little get-togethers and in our own good times? I think that even in our eating and our drinking, we should be different from the rest of the world. The standard is so high that none of us will ever be able to reach it. But unless we're striving to reach it with all of our being, we'll never make it. And this is a matter of life and death. Cleanliness, then, is important. God's word is the water in which we wash. When we wash ourselves, when we take a shower, we turn the warm water on. So cold water isn't enough. It's got to be warm. What is heated? That water? A fire. That fire represents our zeal, our determination to do only the will of God. And that fire represents our desire not to compromise in any sense of the word. So we must rid the flesh of bad habits, or else we'll be spiritually sick. Another aid to good health is exercise. And you know how hard they work at exercise. When we were on our way to the convention this morning, people were already out there jogging. And it makes me tired just to look at them. And there were others out there playing tennis, more for the exercise than the fun, I'm sure. And so there must be exercise in our Christian life. Hebrews 5:14 says, "Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And so we must exercise, put into practice the things that we have learned. Another aid to health is cheerfulness, being cheerful. That's one that I really need, and I'm working on, because it's related to joy, which is a fruit of the Spirit. The apostle says in Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice." You know, we shouldn't really be spending all of our time worrying about our trials and difficulties. The apostle in Philippians 3:13 says, "Forgetting those things which are behind." And so even if we have some kind of a bad experience, let's not dwell on it, if we can possibly help it. The question is, are we living below or above our trials? Let's just represent our trials as a great big boulder. Now, a big boulder or big stone or rock is hard to lift. But suppose that you could lift this great big stone, which is your trials and your hardships and your experiences, and you put that on your back, and you walked with it. That would soon wear you out. But you could take this same rock, or even a bigger one, and if you stood on it, it would be no problem at all. So are we living below our privileges or above our privileges? That's the question that we must answer. And in 1 Peter 5:7 we read, casting all your care upon who? Upon whom? Him. But what do? Soon as we get to the meeting, oh, brother, do you know what I've been through? Oh, sister, do you know what I've just gone through? Casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. And so, let us take our sorrows to the Lord. When we come together, let's just try to be as cheerful and as happy as we possibly can. And in working on this particular problem for myself, I noticed that in a trying situation, if I try to smile, someone may think that I've lost my mind, but I try to smile, and do you know that I automatically feel better? And if you want to just try a little experiment, sometime, you can do it even now if you want to, just smile a little and see how good it makes you feel. Somehow it's like a tonic. It certainly is an aid to spiritual health. Well, then there's forgiveness. That's a check on whether we're spiritually healthy or not. We have to exercise this quality. We've got to love one another, and if we love one another, we'll forgive one another. We just can't keep harboring things and remembering things, because if we do, then we're coming short of our privileges. It's so easy to say, well, and you've probably heard it, someone may say, oh, I've forgiven them, but I certainly haven't forgotten. Well, that's not much of a forgiveness. We want to just really get rid of those things that have bothered us before. Then there are symptoms of disease. We've already had a very graphic lesson on this, and that's about the tongue. The tongue is one way of telling the state of one's health. I remember when I was a little boy, and if I wasn't as mischievous as I was ordinarily, if I was just a little quiet, Mother would say to me, come over here, are you feeling all right? And I'd say, well, I don't know. And she'd say, let me see your tongue. Now, I don't know what she ever saw on that tongue, but somehow she could figure out whether I was feeling good or not. And the tongue is one way of telling the state of our spiritual health. And the Lord is serious about this. This is no laughing matter. What comes out of our heart is enlarged by the tongue. And then, of course, there's heart trouble. We don't want to have spiritual heart trouble. That may kill us. And so, there are many, many wonderful lessons in this. But I'm sure that we want to thank our Heavenly Father for providing us with such a blessing that we can be the Lord's patients. And let us fully submit to His advice and His treatment, because there is a time coming and it's almost here, when if we are faithful, even unto death, we will have the privilege of literally and physically lifting up the world of mankind to natural health. So may God help us to be really spiritually healthy. Amen.
Thank you very much, Brother Krupa. Spiritual health. We all like to have natural and physical health, but I'm sure we're more interested in having good spiritual health. Smile, you're on candid camera. I remember a little story. The minister was a little bit concerned because there was a kind of an apathy in the congregation. There wasn't enough interest and zeal. And he says, there's got to be a fire in the congregation. And somebody else said, before you can have a fire in the congregation, you got to have a fire in the pulpit. And we had some fire in the pulpit today. Now I've got a couple announcements. How many have signed the messages to those who are now not able to be at the convention? If you have not, don't feel guilty, because you still have time to do it. And I think you all know that for those who have to rest a little bit, there are cots provided in the green room. And the arrangements for the meal, and I imagine the meal will be ready as soon as we're through here, is the same as it has been. You go out this door and you'll get a ticket, and then you give it to the... Why you have to carry that ticket all the way from the door to the other place, somebody else knows. But I guess that's to get the right count. But be sure to get a ticket, and then you hand it in, and you'll get your meal. And then our next session is at 1:30, and we'll have a testimony meeting. So we're looking for you all to have good word for me. You can't all be up here on the platform, but you can all have an opportunity. You can have an opportunity. There'll be an opportunity for testimony, but I'm not sure there'll be an opportunity for all to testify. But if you want to testify, be prepared. Now, may we stand and sing 2, 6, 4.
Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We as thy children come to thee again to thank thee for thy many blessings. We thank thee most of all, dear Father, that we have this great privilege of knowing thee and appreciating thy loving character and realizing something concerning the great gift of thy dear Son. We thank thee that he is not only our Redeemer, but also the Redeemer of the whole world of mankind. And our prayer, dear Father, is that we may be more pleasing unto thee, and that we might do thy will more acceptably.